with you ways to do just that. Often, all we need to do is actually discover and then release whatever those internal obstacles have been that have blocked our connection with that divine source of all life. That's what I call God, but you can call it whatever you like. Because what blocks us is often not conscious. It's below our level of awareness. We need a power that's bigger than ourselves to begin embracing our God-given birthright, to feel whole, to be happy, to be prosperous, to feel joyous and free in mind and body and in spirit. And so if that's what you want, you're in the right place. I hope that you and all of your friends join me here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern to learn how you can begin living the life you've always wanted to live. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I'm a metaphysical minister and holistic life coach with decades of counseling experience, and my passion has always been sharing what I've learned about healing pain, about living a happier and more peaceful life, about clearing the suffering that so many of us are doing. And it's about feeling connected with that divine power that lives inside of us, and how that divine source of life itself can and does heal pain and suffering. I know firsthand how faith in that divine source of life can heal all of our woundedness. So each week on Inner Divinity, we focus on what works, what helps, what really matters. My intention always is to provide you not only with the tools, but with the inspiration to remember your wholeness, to find it, and to live it. Divine Spirit is alive in each and every one of us. I know that, because without it, we wouldn't be breathing. When Spirit leaves the body dies. And until then, we have that divine spark of life and the power it holds living right inside of us. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, even where you are, it only matters that you know and begin to connect with that divine source of life. Because of that inner divinity, we have the choice and the power to rise up out of depression, addiction, victimhood, or any other suffering. I know because I've done it, and I've watched countless others do it as well. And so I hope you join me here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on 88.3 FM or online at WAIF883.org, as we explore the many ways there are to tap into the power and the beauty and the divine love that lives in your heart. It's yours as soon as you claim it. There is never really anything that we need to get or gain in order to experience wholeness or joy or prosperity. There's only stuff that we have to let go of, the stuff that has blocked our awareness of already having all of that right inside of us. That divine power is ours to use for all things good, and it arises most easily and fully from humility and gratitude. And so I want to thank you so much for listening, and to also let you know that there is a Facebook page for this show by the same name, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and I'd love to hear from you on that Facebook page. We also begin each week with a little bit of music to uplift our spirits, to bring body and mind into a greater harmony, and to let the body move if it really wants to. Because when the body's moving with music, it begins to feel more strongly that divine spirit that is actually animating the body. So we'll be back in a few minutes, and I hope you join us for today's exploration of how to live a happier, healthier, more spiritually connected life. And here's some music to get us moving on that divine journey. Enjoy. We'll be right back.
1, 2, 3. Tomorrow you can choose again.
88.3 FM on your dial, and also live streaming online at WAAF883.org. And our show every week from 2 to 3 is called Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And it's a show that's really focused on helping you live a happier and healthier life. I am really big on giving you very practical tools that can help you tap into the power of that inner divinity that lives inside of you, and then use that to create better health for yourself, to create more love in your life, to create greater prosperity. Because when we're in touch with that inner divinity inside of us, when we are open and engaged with that divinity that lives in us, then it's much easier for us to be in the flow of abundance in the world and the love that life is really all about. And so that's what we do on this show every week, is we find ways, and that thankfully there are millions of them, to tap into the truth of who you actually are. You can call that the God spark. You can call that your higher self. You can call that your inner divinity. I personally don't think it matters what we call it. I think it only matters greatly that we call on it, that we get quiet and still enough and go inward. We can do that with the breath. We can do that by watching a candle. There's a billion ways, thankfully, to do that as well. But it's inside of us is where our power lives. It also is where unconditional love, the love that God has for us and that we can have for ourselves, because there's a part of us inside that already does. And so that's what we focus on every week, because when we can wake up to the beauty and the power and the glory that actually is what gave us life, then life is different. We feel different, and so we believe different, and so we behave differently, and then everything in our lives begins to reflect that difference. And so today what we're going to be talking about is we're going to continue a conversation that we began last week talking about forgiveness, and specifically about radical forgiveness. Because forgiveness, every spiritual teacher throughout time, and probably your mother and grandmother and everybody you know as well, has told you that forgiveness is a good thing. Forgiveness is healing. We forgive other people because it's good for us to do that. Because if you're walking around with resentment or blame, then it affects you, and it makes blockages in your energy, in your thinking, that then keeps you out of that flow of life, of prosperity, of abundance, of God, of love. And so forgiveness is something that we all really want to do, or most of us do anyway, because we understand that when we forgive, that we free ourselves from those resentments, from those blocks that keep us from living a life that feels good. Because resentment, anger, blame, none of that feels good. So we all know that forgiveness is a good thing, but we don't know how to do it because, as we talked about last week, in my experience, both with myself and with thousands of clients, forgiveness is not something we can make happen. All we can do is be willing to forgive, and sometimes it comes, and sometimes it doesn't. It's like forgiveness is grace, and when it happens, it's amazing, and it really does free us up. But we can't make it happen. All we can do is be willing. We can pretend, we can do all these things like, oh, well, I forgive you, but we don't really. So all we're really doing is lying to ourselves or pretending, and that doesn't help anything. And so what radical forgiveness is comes from a book written by a man named Colin Tipping. And we started that process last week, and we're going to talk more about that today and probably next week as well, because there's a lot to say. But the basic difference in what I now think of as regular forgiveness and radical forgiveness, the first amazing difference is that we can actually do radical forgiveness. It's not so much like grace. We can actually do it. There are different processes and steps that we can use to do that. The other primary difference between regular forgiveness and radical forgiveness is that forgiveness makes an assumption that someone did something wrong, and we're forgiving them for having done something wrong, or we're at least trying to. Radical forgiveness, on the other hand, works from the premise that nothing wrong happened, nothing bad happened. It's just the way we're looking at it, that what happened has actually triggered some sort of wounding inside of ourselves so that we can heal, and that far from something bad happening, it's actually a gift, and that person is actually an angel rather than appearing to be our enemy. They are actually a healing angel in our life if we take the situation and look at it in a very different way. So that is what radical forgiveness is. And we're going to talk about how you do that, what that means, and we're going to spend a good deal of time on that. So I'm telling you, it's a phenomenal process. Before we get any further into that conversation, however, I want to let you know that we are having a spring fund drive still. And if you like having these kinds of shows on the air where we're talking about spiritual growth or personal development, then I need your donations to keep this show on the air. So if you would pledge $25 or more, then I would greatly appreciate that because that will help keep this show on the air. You can do that on the phone by calling 749-1444. You can do that online on the web site for Waif, which is WAIF883.org, and just be sure that you put in that it's for inner divinity, and then that way it will get credited to the show. What I want to let everybody know is that for anybody who pledges $50 or more to keep this show or divinity on the air, I will send them a free CD of Paulette Meyer's Timeless Quaker Wisdom in Plain Song CD. I've played a great deal of that on the show, and people seem to really love it, and I'm going to play a song with them there in a moment so you can hear what that is. I also want to let everybody know that for anybody who pledges $75 or more to the show, then I will give you a free Akashic Record reading as a gift, a thank you, to say thank you for helping me keep my show on the air. If you want to know more about what Akashic Record readings are, then you're welcome to go to my website, which is just my name, LouisaDyer.com, and you can find out all about what they are and how they can serve you. So I really hope that you make a pledge today and help me keep this show on the air. I love doing it. It's a way that I've serviced because we're an all-volunteer radio station and because you won't hear this anywhere else on the radio. We need your support. We're a member-supported station. That's how it works. So thank you very much for that. And I'm going to play a little bit of music now from the CD that I'm going to give to anyone who makes a donation of $50 or more to Waif in the name of the show, Inner Divinity. This is the Timeless Quaker Wisdom CD by Paulette Meyer. The song is Our Life is Love, and that's the truth. Enjoy.
Our life is love. Our life is peace. Our life is tenderness and bearing with each other and forgiving one another and not laying out.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
All right. I want to thank you for producing this show, Inner Divinity. It has been like a light onto my pathway, and I love listening to the show. I listen every Wednesday. I am going to pledge my $25 right now, and I encourage you to please do some more work around that radical forgiveness. Do a workshop or a seminar or a Bible study, anything, because I think that we could benefit, many of us could benefit from finding, for having tools and a method to forgive and to let go.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I feel so blessed by that. I'm really glad that the show means something to you, and I appreciate your pledge a great deal. We can do that over the phone here, or we can do that while I play some more music.
You can play some. Well, I want to hear some more about forgiveness. I'll send pledge here.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Changed her life. Since that time, which was about 14 or 15 years ago now, I think, radical forgiveness has positively impacted the lives of countless others because it's being used now all over the world. For example, this year, Colin is in Europe. He doesn't even have any workshops scheduled in the United States for this whole year because he's completely booked, in the UK for the most part. But anyway, so let me tell you his story with his sister. So his sister Jill came to visit. He's from England originally. His sister Jill still lives in England. His brother John, who's going to be in the story, lives somewhere else. And they were all getting to see each other for the first time in a long time. So he went to the airport to pick up Jill. And as soon as he saw Jill in the airport, he knew something was wrong. And she had flown from England to the United States with his brother, John. And he hadn't seen his brother for like 16 years. And so after they had all their initial hugging and kissing and were riding in the car back to the hotel, Jill, the sister, said to him, you know, Colin, things are not good at home. Jeff and I might be splitting up. And Colin says that despite the fact that he'd noticed something wrong, that announcement really surprised him because he always thought she and Jeff were very happy. They'd been married for 16 years, and both of them had been married before, but this relationship had seemed really strong and really good. Jeff had 3 kids with a previous wife, and Jill had 4, and her younger son, Paul, was the only one that was still living at home. So he was very surprised to hear this, and he asked her, you know, what's going on? And Jill told him, well, you know, it's really bizarre, and I don't even quite know how to tell you, but Jeff is just acting really strange, and I don't really understand it. I mean, we've gotten to the point where we can't even talk anymore. It's killing me. He's totally turned away from me, and he says that it's all my fault. And so Colin says, tell me about it. And so Jill tells him this story. She says, do you remember Jeff's eldest daughter, Lorraine? Well, her husband got killed in a car crash about a year ago. Ever since then, she and Jeff have developed this really weird relationship. Anytime she calls, now remember, this is Jeff's eldest daughter. Anytime she calls, he fawns over her, calling her love and spending hours talking to her in hushed tones. You'd think they were lovers, not father and daughter. If he's in the middle of something and she calls, he just drops everything to talk with her. If she comes to our home, he acts just the same, if not worse. They huddle together in this deep and hushed conversation that excludes everyone else, especially me. I can hardly stand it. I feel like she has become the center of his life, and I hardly figure in it at all. I feel totally shut out and ignored. And so Colin says she just went on and on, offering more details of this strange thing that was going on, and he just kept listening, and of course they were wondering about what would cause this strange behavior on Jeff's part, and they made suggestions about how she could talk to him, and you know, things they might could do to fix it like any concerned person would. And what seemed strange, and Colin says suspicious to him, was that it was so out of character for Jeff. Because the Jeff that he knew was affectionate with his daughters and certainly codependent enough to be in need of their approval and their love, but he had never seen him behave in the manner that Jill was describing. And so Colin had always known him as caring and affectionate toward Jill. And in fact, he was actually finding it hard to believe that Jeff could be treating her so cruelly. And so it was easy to understand why the situation made Jill unhappy, and how Jeff's insistence that she was just imagining it all and making herself mentally ill over it made it even worse for her. And so this conversation that they were having continued all the next day, and Colin began to get this picture of what might be going on between his sister Jill and her husband Jeff from a radical forgiveness standpoint, but he wasn't ready to mention it right away. Because he could see that she was too caught up in the drama of the situation and wouldn't have been able to hear and understand what he had to say. Radical forgiveness is based on a very broad spiritual perspective that was not their shared reality when they were all still still living in England, and so he had never talked to her about it. So he was still pretty clear that they were unaware of it, and so he didn't feel like the time was right yet to introduce it. The whole idea that something might be perfect just the way it is, and an opportunity to heal, when she was so clearly suffering from it. So after the second day of verbally going round and round about this problem, Colin decided that it was pretty close to the time for him to introduce this radical forgiveness approach. And it would require that his sister open up to the possibility that something beyond the obvious was happening, something that was purposeful, divinely guided, and intended for her higher good. Yet she was so committed to being the victim in the situation that he wasn't sure that he could get her to hear an interpretation of her husband's behavior that would actually take her out of that victim role. But still, as his sister began yet another repetition of everything she'd said the day before, he decided to intervene. And he said very tentatively, "Jill, are you willing to look at this situation differently? Would you be open to me giving you a quite different interpretation of what is happening?" And of course she looked at him quizzically, like probably he had lost his mind, and wondering, how can there possibly be another interpretation? This is what's going on. But because Colin had a certain track record with his sister, and he had helped her solve some relationship stuff before, she trusted him at least enough to say, "Well, I guess so. What do you have in mind?" And that's what he had been waiting for. And so he told her, "What I'm going to say may sound strange, but try not to question it until I've finished. Just stay open to the possibility that what I'm saying is true, and see whether or not what I say makes sense to you in any way at all." He says, "What you have described to us, Jill, certainly represents the truth as you see it. I have not the slightest doubt in my mind that this is occurring just as you say it is. And besides, John, the brother, has witnessed it and agrees." So he says, "I'm not surprised of your reaction. But Jill, I want you to know that nothing I'm going to say negates what you have said or tries in any way to invalidate your story. I believe that it happened the way you said it happened. Let me, however, give you a hint of what might be going on underneath that situation." And of course, Jill was like, "What do you mean, underneath the situation?" In a very suspicious tone of voice. And he says, "Well, you know, it's perfectly natural to think that everything out there is all there is to reality. But maybe there's a whole lot more happening beneath that reality. We don't perceive anything that's going on because our five senses are inadequate to the task. But that doesn't mean it isn't occurring. Take your situation, for example. You and Jeff have this drama going on. That much is clear. What if," and this is where he starts moving into the understanding of radical forgiveness, Colin says to his sister, "What if, beneath the drama, something of a more spiritual nature was happening? Same people, same events, but a totally different meaning. What if your two souls were doing the same dance, but to a wholly different tune? What if the dance was about you healing? What if you could see this as an opportunity to heal and grow? That would be a very different interpretation, wouldn't it?" The sister looked at him like he was crazy, so he backed off from that a little bit and went directly for more of an experience instead of an explanation. He says to his sister, "Looking back over the last 3 months or so, Jill, what did you mostly feel when you saw Jeff behaving so lovingly toward his daughter, Lorraine?" "Anger, mostly," she said. "Frustration and sadness. I feel really sad." And the tears came. She says, "I feel so alone and unloved." And then she began sobbing. "It wouldn't be so bad if I thought he couldn't show love. But he can, and he does, with her." She spat these last few words out with vehemence and rage and began to sob uncontrollably for the first time since her arrival. She'd shed a few tears before that, but hadn't really let herself cry. And now she was letting go. And Colin says he was glad that Jill had been able to get in touch with those emotions. He despite her prayers, she prayed for a full 10 minutes before she could talk. And then at that point, he asked her, Jill, can you ever remember feeling the same way when you were a little girl? And she said, yes, immediately. It took her a while to explain it, though. And when she did, she said, you know, Dad wouldn't love me either. She blurted this out and began to sob again. I wanted him to love me, but he couldn't. He wouldn't. I thought he couldn't love me. Then your daughter came along, Colin. He loved her all right. So why couldn't he love me? She banged her fists on the table and cursed a little and shouted words and then sobbed some more. Her reference was to Colin's older daughter, Lorraine. Amazing, isn't it, that he, same name of his daughter, Lorraine, and Jeff's, her husband's daughter, Lorraine. So crying felt really good to Jill, and her tears served as a really powerful release, and a breakthrough happened. After Colin asked her to tell him about that incident with his daughter, Lorraine, and their dad, and Jill did. She said, well, I always felt unloved by Dad, and I really craved his love. He didn't hold my hand or sit me on his lap, and I always felt like there must be something wrong with me. And when I was older, Mom told me that she didn't think Dad was capable of loving anyone, not even her. And at that time, I more or less made peace with that. I mean, I rationalized that if he wasn't really capable of loving anyone, then it wasn't my fault that he loved me. He really didn't love anyone. He hardly ever made a fuss about my kids or his own grandkids. He wasn't a bad father. I just couldn't love. I felt sorry for him. And then she cried some more. And then she came, got back, and was composed again. She recounted a particular incident where Colin's daughter, Lorraine, was there, and she was maybe 4 or 5, and her father was suddenly leaving Colin's daughter, Lorraine, and she started talking about how that devastated her, because now she saw that he was able to love after all. And he thought, well, shucks, if he can love Lorraine, then why not me? So, interpreting Jill's story from a radical forgiveness viewpoint, Colin began to see that her husband, Jeff's outwardly strange behavior was unconsciously designed to support Jill in healing her unresolved relationship with her father. If she could see this and recognize the perfection in Jeff's behavior, she could heal her pain, and Jeff's behavior would almost certainly stop. He wasn't sure how to explain this, but fortunately, he says, she stumbled on it herself, because later that day, she asked him, Colin, don't you think it's odd that Jeff's daughter and your daughter both have the same name? Come to think of it, both of them are blonde and firstborn. Isn't that a strange thing? Do you think there's a coincidence, a connection? He laughed and said, absolutely. It's the key to understanding the whole situation. She, of course, wanted to know what he meant. He told her to work it out for herself. What other similarities are there? And so she started naming and listing all the similarities, and there was a bunch of them. And suddenly, she got frightened because she could begin to see it. And she wanted to know, what is going on here? And so Colin helped put the pieces together for her. He said, look, Jill, let me explain how this works. This happens to be a perfect example of what I was talking about earlier when I said that beneath the drama we call life lies a whole different reality. Believe me, there's nothing to be frightened about. When you see how this works, you will feel more trust, more security, and more peace than you ever thought possible. You'll realize how well we are being supported by the universe, or God, whatever you want to call it. Every moment of every day, no matter how bad any given situation seems to be at the time, looked at from a spiritual standpoint, our discomfort in any given situation provides a signal that we are out of alignment with spiritual law and are being given an opportunity to heal something. It may be some original pain, or perhaps a toxic belief that stops us from becoming our true selves. We don't often see it from this perspective, however, because we judge the situation and we blame others, or we blame ourselves even, for what is happening, and that prevents us from seeing the message or understanding the lesson, and that prevents us from healing. If we don't heal whatever needs to be healed, we must create more discomfort until we are literally forced to ask, what is going on here? Sometimes the message has to become very loud, or the pain extremely intense, before we pay attention. A life-threatening illness, for example, provides a really loud message. So what he told her is that in your case, what has come up to be healed this time is your original pain around your father and the fact that he never showed you love. That's what all your current pain and discomfort are about. This particular pain has arisen many times before in different situations, but because you didn't recognize the opportunity, it never got healed. And that's why having yet another opportunity to look out and heal this issue is a gift. Jill says a gift. You know it's a gift because there's a message in it for me. One that I might have gotten a long time ago if I'd been able to see it. And Colin says, yes, had you seen it then, you would have had less discomfort and you wouldn't be going through this now. But it doesn't matter. Now is perfect. Let me explain what happened and how it affected your life up until now. As a little girl, you felt abandoned and unloved by Dad. For a girl, this is devastating. From a developmental standpoint, it is necessary for a young girl to feel loved by her father. Since you didn't feel that love, you concluded that there must be something wrong with you. You began to really believe you were unlovable and inherently not enough. That belief anchored itself deeply in your subconscious mind and later, when it came to relationships, began to run your life. In other words, as a way of mirroring your subconscious belief that you were not enough, your life has always included actual situations that exhibit to you the fact that you were indeed not enough. Life will always prove your beliefs right. So when you were a child, the pain of not getting Dad's love was more than you could bear. So you repressed some of it, and you suppressed some of it. When you suppress emotion, you know it's there, but you stuff it down. Repressed emotion, on the other hand, gets buried so deeply in the subconscious mind that you actually don't even know it's there. You lose complete awareness of it. And so he took her through all these other relationships that she had been through that wound up looking a lot like this one. And by the end of the understanding and the talking and the going through the radical forgiveness process, Jill came out on the other side of it, realizing that Jeff had actually been serving in a healing role for you. And she felt completely different about what was going on. And she was really empowered by owning her feelings. And forgiveness became a moot point because suddenly she saw that Jeff hadn't done anything wrong. Jeff had been a healing angel. And she relaxed when she looked at things in this whole totally different way, and her energy shifted. And she was able to see things completely differently. And so Colin encouraged her when she went home not to try to talk about this with Jeff, just to see how things happened. And so that's what she did. And it's been about 16 years now, I think, since then. And they are still happily married. And what happened is when she went home, the behavior between Jeff and his daughter, Lorraine, simply stopped. And it stopped because she no longer needed the trigger of it. Metaphysics will tell you, spiritual principles will tell you, that everything you're experiencing externally is a reflection of something happening inside of you. And when you can figure out what that is and heal it, change it, then the external situations will change. And so that's sort of the premise of radical forgiveness. And I have to stop right there because we're almost out of time here. But what I want you to know is that when Jill healed that relationship with her current husband. And that's the power of radical forgiveness, because she suddenly owned her feelings, and she no longer saw him as the cause, no longer blamed him for how she had been feeling. She saw him as somebody who was providing her a way to notice and heal the pain that was still inside of her. So that was Jill's story. And that's as far as we're going to get today with talking about radical forgiveness. I hope that was helpful to give you an idea of what it is and how it works and the power of it. And next week we'll talk more about how to do this. And I think I'm going to take my caller's suggestion from earlier. And I've been in a book study group on radical forgiveness. Again, it's by Colin Tipping, and it's quite amazing. And you can actually go to his website, which is radicalforgiveness.com, and find out more information there if you want. I just want to thank everybody so much for listening today. We haven't gotten to do a lot of other stuff. I want to remind you again, if you would like to make a pledge to keep the show on the air, I would greatly appreciate it. You can do that by calling 749-1444 and making a pledge to this show, which is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. You can also do that online at WAIF's website, which is WAIF883.org. I want to thank you so much for listening. I love coming on the radio show every week and telling you all the millions of ways that there are for you to feel good about who you are, for you to live in the wholeness and the divinity that is your birthright. And we're here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on 88.3 FM and live streaming online all over the world on WAIF883.org. And so I really hope to see you back here next week, where we're going to continue this discussion. And if you want to get in touch with me and talk about telling a story on the radio show, or even making a pledge, and you want to do that through a personal contact, you can also get in touch with me through my website, which is just my name, LisaDyer.com or .net. I also want to let you know that there is a free guided meditation on that LisaDyer.com website that will help you get in touch with your own inner divinity. I call that on the meditation your higher self, and it's a 10-minute guided meditation that will help you get present, get grounded in your own body, and really begin to feel the power of love and presence. I think it's God in your heart. So I really hope that you check that out if you want some help with getting in touch with that inside of you. I also want to let you know that there is a Facebook page for this show, and it's by the same name as the show, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. And there's lots of really uplifting messages on that Facebook site. There's also every week information about what's going to be happening on the show. And it's also an invitation for you to consider telling a personal transformational story of your own, where you've had an aha moment, where you've woken up. Because when we tell each other our stories, it wakes us up in a way that reading a book just can't do. And so I really am interested in people telling their stories. And if you would like to, get in touch with me and we'll figure out what's the best way to do that. Again, I want to let you know my name is Robin Valisa Dyer. I'm a metaphysical minister and life coach. And I'm here every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. And normally, we close out the show with my favorite song by Faith Rivera, which is God Is. But because I am giving away this Timeless Quaker Wisdom CD by Paul Whitmire for anyone who pledges, anyone who donates $50 or more to this show, I'm going to close with some more cuts from this CD so that you can hear it. It is incredibly beautiful. And I love the CD. I think there are, let me see, there are 18 songs on this CD. And each one of them is a Quaker quote that has been put to music and sung by Paulette, who has literally the voice of a songbird. She is amazing. So But I'm going to close out with some of these songs, let you just hear a few more of these beautiful songs that are on this CD so that you can know what's waiting for you if you pledge $50 or more in the name of this show, Inner Divinity. I'm going to start with the fourth cut, which is called Art Thou in Darkness. Because if you are, there is a way out. There's always a way out. As somebody who was suicidal and severely depressed and a drug addict for the first half of my life, I can tell you there's a way out. I know that for sure. And the way out is by going into your heart. The way out is by surrendering to God. So if thou art in darkness, listen to this, and maybe I'll hear what you can do about it. And I will see you back here next week, and we'll talk more about forgiveness. In the meantime, just continue to be willing to forgive. That's really all it takes. See you next week. Enjoy.
Art thou in the darkness, minded not, for if thou dost, it will feed thee more. But stand still and act not, and wait in patience till light arises out of darkness and leads thee. Art thou in the darkness, minded not, for if thou dost, it will feed thee more. But stand still and act not, and wait in patience till light arises out of darkness and leads thee. Art thou in the darkness, minded not, for if thou dost, it will feed thee more. But stand still and act not, and wait in patience till light arises out of darkness and leads thee. Stand still in that which is pure, after ye see yourselves, and then mercy comes in. After thou seest thy thoughts and temptations, do not think, but submit, and then power comes in. And discovers, and there doth strength immediately come. And stand still in the light, and submit to it, and the other will be hushed and gone, and then contentment comes. Stand still.